We find a young couple returning home after a fine church supper as we hear the man say,
"Well, Ma, that sure was a good church supper, wasn't it?"
"Sure was, but nice of that announcer to call us a young couple, wasn't it?"
"He can't see much better than he can read, can he?"
"Well, it was a nice church supper, Pa, I want you to know. They had the fine fried chicken and the country ham and the roast beef and, oh, the gravy."
"Awful good, Ma, awful good."
"Certainly was a good dinner, Pa."
"Only one thing I missed, Ma."
"What's that, Pa?"
"I miss corn. Boy, I sure love corn with meal."
"Buck up, Pa. It's just now 7:05. We'll turn on the radio and get the best corn around. Here we go. It's time for the Joy Boy.
J-A-W, Joy Boy.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, it's time for radio. Oh, yeah. Tuesday evening edition.
Terrific.
I'm the Joy Boy.
The Joy Boy connected to the management. The management connected to the sales bar.
All
the
right.
Salesman connected to...
We've got a program coming up here this evening that will probably fix it for good. I don't know.
We are attempting to tickle your taste buds here in the next half hour.
This
so
is Ed Walker.
Willard Scott here. Bobby Shedden. George Brington. And the ever-popular Arthur... George.
I'm taking music lessons.
That's fine music, you see.
My pleasure. Yeah.
George, introduce Art.
Hello, Art.
Hi, George.
We have the old regulars on today. That's wonderful. Our show looks pretty exciting. Coming up on the show, Betty Crockett and a couple of recipes from her old cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
Great Moments in History and Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park.
And to top it all off, we have an award.
An award, Eddie?
Yes, the Horseshoe Manufacturers of America have just voted the Joy Boys the two biggest ringers in radio.
I'd rather pitch woo than a horseshoe.
I love.
George, play the record. Oh. Well, Eddie, you know, it's been a long time, I guess, since old Betty has allowed us to come into her kitchen.
That's right. She's been pretty fussy about that lately. Something about television and big stars and so. But today she's consented to let us go on down. So let's walk on down to the kitchen here and see what interesting little recipe she has. A little beef behind the door here ought to just about take care of it.
I'll push the door open for you, Eddie.
There we are. Welcome to the experimental kitchen. Once again, it's a great pleasure and a privilege for us to go inside the spacious doors of Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen. And here she is, queen of the kitchen range, Miss Betty Crockett. Betty, how are you?
How do you do on your own, Marzo? Well, hello, Eddie. How do you do?
Hello, Betty. How do you do? Nice to see you again.
Oh, good to see you. Good looking.
Betty, get out a little of that no-cal lasagna.
Arthur!
Get your hand off my...
Now look what you made me do.
Can't understand you boys are so grabby. Well, hello, everybody. This is Betty Snootful, your old friend.
Crockett.
I don't know what I was thinking about. We're awful glad to have you here. Pull out the cork on this one and settle back and relax. And
Betty, we haven't been visiting with you in several months, actually. I wonder just what sort of cooking you've been up to here.
Well, I've been cooking some gooses around here at NBC. That's what
I've
been
doing. I've noticed that.
steamed open a lot of old mail, and I think I found the secret to what makes this place tick. I'm not sure.
Good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I notice here on the shelf have a lot of nice jars here that seem to be neatly lined up on the shelves here.
Well, Eddie, don't you know it's cannon time again for old Betty?
Mm-hmm. Cannon time for old
Betty. And all the girls, listen, it's that season again when we begin to can. I mean, there's not a whole lot to can right now, but in the coming months with spring beans and squash and tomatoes and all the goodies from the garden, it'll
be... So to make do with what you have.
That's right. Hmm?
I see. You sort of make do with what you have.
Sure do.
Ah, wonderful.
Now, Eddie, we have had some fresh strawberries and some peaches, don't you?
Do you make preserves?
I've preserved them in our can a couple
times. I open a jar and just take a whiff off?
Yes, canned strawberries.
Canned strawberries.
I put up last month.
Let me just... Oh, that's... Oh, look at that.
Isn't that good?
Delicious.
You may put your finger in there.
Can I have a little bit of it? Ow!
Get your finger off the can of peach there.
And this next one here says peach preserve. Peach preserve.
These are some peaches I got from down in Virginia last month, and they're awful good. Just terrific.
Just wonderful.
Just tasty and good.
Yeah, oh, that's nice, Betty. I'd sure like to be able to take a couple jars of those home, I'll tell you.
Well, you can have a couple of these. That's about all I've put.
Hey, here's one of my favorites right here. Canned applesauce. Man,
that's not canned applesauce. That's not canned applesauce.
I guess I read the label wrong. It's canned applause.
That's what we used to use for the old shows, don't you remember?
The technically augmented one.
Sure.
Well, they take the lid off and they
say something funny and the people will applaud.
There were two guys going down the road. One of them
put the top back on. I may need this because I understand rating months next week.
Yes, well, you better
say. Well, so long, everybody.
Thank you,
we'll
Betty.
See you later. Goodbye.
Nice visiting the Experimental Kitchen. And join us again next when we go through the spacious doors of the Experimental Kitchen and pay another visit to our homie
father. Get your hand off my
Let's close the door here.
How you do, ladies and gentlemen? I am the elocution expert for the National Broadcasting Company, and I just stopped by to remind you that it's time for our corn bowl of the day. And the record that we feature this day is entitled Meet Me in the Ice House, Nelly, and it is done by the Hoosier Hotshot. How now, brown cow?
Pick up all that stuff, Hezzy.
I got it, I got it.
Okay, you got it, we got to play it, so here we go.
And now, great moments in history.
Great moments in history, the facts and true stories behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present-day world. Today's great moment in history, the story of Martin Morris and his special chair. The year is 1823, Paris, France, as our story opens. Martin Morris, famous chair builder, is musing to himself in the office.
6 million, 8 million, 20 million, 55 million francs this week. I can't believe it. I'm the wealthiest man in all of Paris.
Monsieur Morris.
What is it, Charles Swivel?
I've come in to discuss something with you. Mind if I sit down here?
Just a minute. Here, have a cigar, Swivel. Here.
Oh, thank you.
Pardon me. I reached over to get the cigar box and... my chair fell over.
Yes, Mr. Morris.
Pull the chair back up to the desk. Now, what is your problem, Mr. Morris?
Well, I was discussing the sales problem that we are having with our chairs recently on the business market. Now, if you will look at these plans that I put down on your desk.
Let me just get a glass of water over here.
Yes, right. Of course. Fell off the chair. Let me help you up, monsieur.
He's pulling
off
the chair here. I cannot understand.
Now, our sales in the homes are very good. It seems that the Morris chair...
Lean back and stretch my feet on the desk.
Why,
the chair is so stationary, it will not move.
Yes, Monsieur Morris, that is why I've come in to talk to you.
What is it?
We have a sales problem in businesses. All over the world, men like you sitting at their desks, reaching for glasses of water, talking to other people, are falling out of their chairs. Do you realize that the life insurance rates have gone up?
Good heavens, and I own 55% of the insurance company, too. My.
So in my off hours, I have perfected a new chair. This chair has a pair of roller skates on the bottom, and you can wheel it around the room, and it also has between the chair and the base a ball bearing which lets it turn. I have named it after myself. I call it the swivel chair.
Let me see this chair. Let me sit out of this chair.
Yes.
Let me swivel in it.
Needs a little oil, but other than that, it is all right.
Monsieur Swivel, once anything is well-oiled, it always works better.
I've noticed it with you, monsieur.
And that's today's great moment in history. The story behind Martin Morris and Sybil Swivel, the inventors of the Morris Swivel chair.
Sorry, my name is Charles.
Now, that's pretty music. The Four Preps had a little thing called Lazy Summer Night, and that was by request on our program. Stay tuned now for the exciting adventures of Robin Hood.
And now, the National Broadcasting Company presents The Adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park.
Ouch!
Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.
Fescue, the greatest name in natural grass, brings you the exciting adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park. As our story opens on today's exciting chapter, we find ourselves somewhere in the park as Robin is saying to his band of men.
Men, I have great news for you. Gather ye round. Little John. Friar Tuck.
Hey, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Alan O'Dale.
Ah, here in my heart I have yearned for you.
Shut up. Sing on your own time.
Men, I have a wonderful surprise that I just received in the morning mail. Look at this. A season pass to the Washington baseball game.
Where's ours?
You see, men.
Where's ours?
Will you shut up?
Where's ours?
Oh, shut up.
Where is ours?
I'm trying to tell you. As sports editor of the Hobo News, I am entitled to a press pass to the ballpark. However, the rest of you slot men did not receive press passes.
Ooh. Robin's not our friend.
Robin's not our friend.
A moment, just a moment. I am.
I kind of like Robin anyway.
Thank you. Thank you, little John. I am your friend because I have a scheme that will enable all of us.
Don't you always?
Yes, I have a scheme that will enable all of us to get into the ballpark. Now, if you listen closely.
What are you going to do, Robin?
Well, I will take my press pass, enter the stadium, and then I'll go to the center field wall, knock out a plank in the fence, enabling all of you to get through. What do you think?
Mm, that'll work, Robin.
Well, let's try it.
All
men,
right.
Let's get on our horses and away to the ballpark.
And so Robin Hood and his band of 30 men made their way to the ballpark over to 7th A Street, and we find ourselves now outside the ballpark. Robin has just gone inside the crowd. And in the background, you hear Robin say to them,
"You men, wait here for me. Stand right by this fence. As soon as I can get into the ballpark, get over to the fence and knock out a plank, I'll get you into the ballpark. Wait a moment.
Make it snappy, Robin. I think Mickey Mantle just hit a homer. Is he still with us?
You think Robin will be able to do it?
I don't know. What's his name? Posada, written on the side of the wall here. What does it mean?
It's the owner of the ball club.
Oh.
Hey, there's Robin. Look, he's knocking the plank out of the fence.
Good boy, Robin. Hey, you did it.
All right, little John, you go in first.
Okay.
You made it.
I squeezed it.
Now let me try to get in the fence. All right, Friar Tuck, you're next. Come on.
All right, Robin, I'll just get into the... Put my foot through that.
Come on, Friar, the first inning is just...
I made it, Robin. I think I lost my cummerbund back there in the...
Yeah.
In the middle of the fence.
I noticed that you've taken the seat out of your trousers. There's just one thing I'll ask of you, Friar Tuck. Whatever you do, don't stand up for the seventh inning stretch. You'll embarrass the whole band of men.
I think this is the end of Friar Tuck.
I think you're right.
This has been a lousy production.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the program director of this station, and I'd just like to take this few remaining seconds to apologize to you who have been loyal fans of this network for all these years for the 25 minutes of dribble that you've just been forced to listen to. I'm fighting it tooth and nail. The manager's fighting it. The sales department's fighting it. With our sincere hope and effort, we shall get
all
this
right,
program...
Hold it, you guys.
I'm sorry.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
I see, that just about does it for the Joy Boys for this evening. So until tomorrow, this is Ed Walker.
Willard Scott here, thanking the very beloved Arthur Page.
Oh, thanks.
The talented Bobby Shedden. and the versatile George Brooks. George. Here's Charlie Stafford, who says,
this program has been selected to be heard by our armed men and women overseas.
Thanks to the Lions Club, Leslie.
We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We take the last
Buster Brown gets half sold tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
There they go into orbit. WRC and WRC-FM, NBC Radio in Washington. Stay tuned for News of the World next, 7:30.
It's nice to be back here in the old studio again. I don't like working in that big studio myself. I like the nice intimate
one. This
is
more intimate, yes.
I wish the phone company would have taken the telephone out of here, though, first of all.
Yeah, I keep bumping the coin return box there, and it makes it a little crowded, but...
Well, a phone booth is intimate. That's always one nice way to put it.
Excuse me. I'd like to pardon.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bill Gleason, our radio program director. Bill, we're on the air.
Yeah, I know. I realized that I was just looking for these Scotch tape.
Scotch tape? Certainly.
You got it here?
Yeah, we were patching up a few torn pieces of paper.
Yeah, I just want to borrow it for just a few minutes if I could, please.
I just need to...
Excuse me, fellas.
Why
do I interrupt here?
I didn't want to come down here. I came down to look for the Scotch tape.
Let me see your button so we can identify you.
Here.
Make sure.
Now, can I have the Scotch tape, fellas? We got some
your fingerprint smudged on your ID card.
Stop.
Listen, I wish if you're coming into radio, you'd send me a memo so I can prepare the boys for it.
Just because you're in a medium that has had it, don't be flippant.
Expediency is our medium. Remember, this is National Radio Month. They don't call it National Television Month.
Yeah, the biggest sound around. I know.
That's us.
I know the whole bit. All right. Can I have the Scotch tape now?
No, I'm using the Scotch tape.
Well, I think I have precedence over the Scotch tape.
Radios.
Who's the moneymaker?
Look on the outside. How about the summertime, Buster? We pulled you through many a hard one.
Give me that
Scotch
tape.
Look, fellas, this is kind of ridiculous.
Oh, shut up.
Let's Harry Bill. Don't you shut me up, you wise punk.
Listen, give me that Scotch tape.
Take this Scotch tape right in the arm here.
Ow! I don't want to see that money. Give me that Scotch tape.
You come down to my radio studio and demand that you get
the
Scotch tape.
Take that.
Fellas, listen. George, if you can possibly play the theme, would you do something in there?
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
I'm sorry I did that, Gleason. Really, second thought, I shouldn't have done it. Here, you take the Scotch tape.
Oh, let's start watching Dr. Hudson's Secret Journal now. I think you broke my arm.
Here.
All righty, I'll use it
now. Take the Scotch tape.
I'll send it up to you by the truce officer from
the... That's very nice, yes.
National Academy.
I'm sorry that we have this little tip.
No, it's all right.
That's okay.
Excuse us, boys, for interrupting you.
I never needed that front tube anyway. Well, it's nice to see people happy in their work. And,
two grown men, too. I can't understand why they don't settle these things in their management meetings. You'd think, you know, they'd get enough of that.
That's actually, they're going to do that now. For the management, they're putting them in a big gym. They're going to have wall-to-wall mats in their offices up there now.
I thought he was with Channel 5.
That's somebody else.
Huge headline. I really think it's about time we got...
I think we ought to tell them this is the Joy Boys show for...
I think they know that by now.
Oh, you think they know that?
Yes.
I think we ought to tell them that you're Willard Scott and I'm Ed Walker.
I'm Willard Scott and he's Ed Walker.
Actually, I think they know that, too.
I think they know. And, do they know that Bobby Shenton is the... Oh, George, you're going to give George credit first?
Yeah, give me credit somewhere, will you?
All right, well, let's do it alphabetically. All right. Jose Bo is...
starting back.
Yeah. Jose Bo is in TV. Nobody's ever seen Jose Bo, but his name appears in the roster. Him and Maroney, Messerschmitt, and Hugh Faisenbaker. Three of the biggest names in the state.
Hugh who?
Hugh Faisenbaker.
Wow.
Okay, let's go. Art Page is over there dusting off his board.
Dusting off the board.
Dusting off the board.
I'm here.
Well, yeah, we know that. We have an award, don't we, Ed?
Tell them what's coming up on the program first.
An award, according to the...
Miss
Janitor will be here.
Things that are coming up.
All right, Miss Janitor.
On the show.
We have a hotline coming up in about 5 minutes.
Now, what he means is not on the program, but he's got to do the intro. On the, you won't know it on the... Oh, forget it.
You guys are ready for the hotline?
We're doing one from Italy, I know.
What else is coming up?
The Yellow Ghost will be here.
Now, the award.
In splendor.
The award.
Don't forget, just playing Stella Bear.
The
You got the award.
All right. We have been voted by the Cattlemen's Association of the United States, the two biggest bum steers in radio.
get along, little doggy.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
No. Hi, guys. All right. Les Brown in the orchestra. His family is here, as you can tell.
The only automated audience in radio.
Yeah, that guy was really going. And the song is called On the Street Where You Live. That's from My Fair Lady, I think. That's from. All right, you ready for the next bit?
Mm-hmm.
Music.
Mersey, the greatest name in dotes. Companion product to the Dozy Dotes. Sweden's finest import. The only Sherman tank frame to have a one motor. As our story opens, we find ourselves in the studio of the one and only Miss Gender. The May skies and the tulip bulbs, and here comes a girl. On the job. Stepping out of her glass booth here at Radio Central. I think you tripped over the mic cable, Miss Janitor.
Oh, indeed. Yes. Oh, I need that for me. It's pretty bad.
I think it's supposed to be tulip bulbs and May skies, and here comes a girl with a patch on her eye.
That's better, yes. All right.
All right, stepping out of her glass booth in the radio. Let me help you up here.
Thank you very much.
Here she is, Washington's own weather girl with the Washington temperatures.
A little tired, that's all. So, we ready? Am I on now?
Yeah.
Okay. Double indemnity. 20-year life. Ordinary life. Endowment policy. Premiums. Any ideas what I'm doing?
I haven't got the slightest ideas what you're doing.
I have a new job.
You
I'm
do?
Selling life insurance policies.
Is that why all the technical endowment and...
and the 20-year life.
I got 25,000 at home.
Good. Show off. Yeah. All right. So.
It's not double indemnity, though, because I don't trust my wife.
Yeah, I don't blame her. I don't blame you.
Yes. So, I mean, you're selling it. Why are you selling insurance?
Well, I have to. I always trip over things as I come in here. My premiums are so high that the company told me to go out and sell a few policies.
Well, I think that's fine. I mean,
I have a polyp on my vocal cord.
That helps. Are you in Dunn and Brad Street? Are you in Dunn and you're at the Woodner?
Yes.
All right.
Right.
Well. Okay, Miss Janitor.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
I guess I'll...
Oh. I think we can see now why she has to sell insurance. Bye.
Bye.
She got her polyp caught in the door there. Would you, that's fine, George.
Our men from Texas, from the backwoods, from the plains. What we lacked in number, we really lacked in brains. Both Reds and Yankees, strangers. They called us Dozy Rangers. Both north and south, they knew our pain. The Yellow Ghost, what they call it, take a little in my name.
The exciting adventures of the Yellow Ghost, Major John Siegel, the Dozy, Confederate States of America, as he lived it, as he wrote it. Today's exciting episode is titled, The Flick of a Switch. As our story opens, we find ourselves 13 miles beyond Leesburg, just out around Hamilton, 3 miles south of Round Hill, about 14 miles from Storyville, 27 miles from Warrenton. We are in the heart of Mosby's Confederacy. As our story opens, the Major says...
They're making it more difficult for me to repeat the announcer every time, Miles.
I understand that's why they did it, Major. They just
said, we are 13 miles from Warrenton, and that's how I lost him after that. I don't know. There we are.
You were a sneaky rascal. Where were you last night, incidentally? We were looking for you. You're so sneaky, you moved in and out of camp. We didn't even know you were
here. Miles, I have a terrible problem.
I know. I saw the ratings.
No. Other than that, Miles, I'm thinking of the welfare of our men.
I'm thinking of the welfare of Miles. If these show goes off the air, we've had it.
You see, Miles, the men are restless.
I know it.
The men need... See what I mean? The men need some entertainment. I tried to get a USO troop to come in here, and I couldn't.
Don't you mean CSO troop, Major?
Oh, yes.
I think that's the reason they didn't come over, because they're Yankees, and they don't...
Right. Well, I...
Too hot about entertaining.
I couldn't get anybody to come over here and entertain us, Miles, and I thought maybe you might have an idea of some way to entertain the troops.
Well, Major, I think I can get us a movie for tonight.
A movie?
How do you like that?
The men haven't seen a movie in a year.
That's right, Major.
Would you men like to see a movie tonight? Miles, that's wonderful. If you can get a movie, I'll be indebted to you for many years.
Start writing the checks. I want more over the commissary.
And so Major Noseby sidekick Miles went over to the commissary to see about getting a flick. As the story opens, he opens the door. Comes in and says,
Miles. Miles, you're back.
Major, I'm
back. Turn around, Miles. All I see is your back.
Oh, hello, Major. How do you do?
Miles.
How do you do, Major Noseby? How do you do?
How do you do?
How do you do, Major Noseby? How do you do?
Forget all that trivia, Miles, and tell me, did you get a movie?
I got the flick, Major.
You got the flick, Major.
Right.
Well, tell me. I don't read Variety like you do, Miles. Tell me, what movie did you get?
Gone with the Wind.
Oh, no, Miles. What are you trying to do, help us lose the war?
I like that scene in Atlanta with only women.
Yes. Reps and Yankee strangers, they call us Noseby Rangers. Yellow Ghost is what they call me. Brett Butler is my name. Now time for our Joy Boys Cornball Record of the Day. There you have our cornball record of the day, the Buffalo Bills.
Very big fellow.
And Goofus. What? The Buffalo Bill there. Here he is.
Come on, Bill. Let's go and get out of here so we can do the next bit.
It's round up time in Rockville, and the stage is on the bloomers.
Okay, right now it's time. Excuse me, I got to get in the character. You ready?
Cue the announcer.
He started what up.
King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the heartwarming story of just plain Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gift and stage-struck star of Broadway, Margaret Hartburn in the title role of Kindly Mama Bear. Featuring Thurston Goodenough as young Herbert. As our story opens, it's early afternoon in the Bear House. Mama Bear's just put up some gelatin desserts in the icebox. Herbert just comes in the door. I think you better cue the sound there.
Hey, Ma. Ma.
As Herbert says.
Ma. Mom.
What is it? That was only the water cooler. You almost got me off my guard.
You know them gelatin desserts you just put up there?
Yes.
I eat them.
Well, I thought you had that sheepish look about your face.
Ma, I got a
sheep
terrible...
Sheep jello, it's wonderful.
Got a problem here. Oh, what for dessert? No.
I saw the rating, Herbert. I wouldn't worry about it.
I got a problem, Ma, and only you can help me out. A boy is supposed to go to his mother when he has problems.
Right. I think we got a problem with the arguments, but how about killing the theme?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I like the music.
All right, darling. Now, what's your little problem?
Well, Ma, you see...
In exactly 1 minute and 10 seconds.
The spring formal is coming up right now, and I'd like to be able to take a date to the spring formal, and I don't know any etiquette.
All you need is a little culturizing, Herbert.
Well, what do I do?
First of all, when you walk in to meet the girl, say, how do you do? I'm Herbert Bear.
That's right. How do you do? I'm Herbert Bear.
I'll be the girl, and you say now. You come in. Now, knock on the door. All right. Come on in.
How do you do? I'm Herbert Bear.
That's perfect.
Here's your corsage and a box of candy. I sampled the candy. It's pretty good.
You shouldn't sample the candy first. Just present me the flowers.
Well, I was hungry.
And then bow from the waist. All right.
Here's the flowers, and I'll bow from the waist. Or my little Lord Fauntleroy suit there.
Gotta get that kid some new clothes. Well, now that's doing fine. Now, Herbert, as far as say to the young lady, I'd like to have the pleasure
to have the pleasure to stand.
Now, take my right arm.
Take your right
take
arm.
My left arm.
Take your left arm.
Now, take my other
take
arm.
Take your other arm.
Now, let's go.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Whoop!
Ah! You almost got it pretty good. And then after it's all over, you take her little hand, you kiss her knuckles, and say, it's been my
it's
pleasure.
It's been my pleasure.
And then you go home.
And that's all I need to
that's
do.
That's all you need, Herbert.
Well,
now, tell me something.
Hmm?
Who are you going to ask to go to the dance with you?
Well, you and I get along so good. How about you going with me? I'd like to have the pleasure of the next dance there.
Actually, I've already asked her, and she's going with me.
Oh.
Thank you, and good evening.
Okay.
King Kong Bird Seed has again brought you Just Plain Stella Bear, the story of love and tenderness in a world too busy to care. Starring Margaret Hartburn in the title role of Kind Little Lady Bear, based on a book, Not Enough, Soon Enough, by Claudia Klein. A Deathly Perennial by Darlene Fitzgerald. This has been a Sherman D. Bank production.
Why, he's seen the ratings, too. I just, cue the, will you stop playing the organ now? I think we're ready for another musical number.
Joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro.
Well, we just about put the finishing touches on another one. Until tomorrow, then, this is Ed Walker saying so long to Willard Scott. He's leaving. Goodbye to George Brewington. Arthur Page.
Bye.
Bobby Shenton. And Charles Stafford.
Charles left. This program is being heard by our forces overseas.
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Keep a smile on your face and your lips on your chin and your happiness all the way tonight on the NBC Radio Network! Simmer down!
A new motion picture. The Gerber Brothers Big Run for 1961. See the exciting...
Simmer down!
Yes, simmer down. See this new motion picture now. For those of you who want the old days in movie entertainment, for those who want to relax and go to sleep in the movies, see...
Simmer Down!
Here now is an exciting scene from that new motion picture. Yes, Hollywood has cut expenses by not using a soundtrack. Be sure to see it at your local theater now at popular prices. The movie...
Simmer Down!
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Well, that's the theme, which means it's time for the Joy Boys program for Thursday evening. This is Ed Walker, my partner across the table from me, Willard Scott.
How do you do, Ed?
Hi, Will.
Hi, gang.
Hi.
Hi.
Willard, would you like to tell us what's coming up on the program this
evening? I'll read the rundown sheet I have in my hand here.
Very fine.
18th June, 1922. Dearest Puss, how I miss you tonight.
Wait a minute.
All my I think I got a Falsini poem
here. He was in the studio yesterday. Patty Cavan interviewed him. I noticed some macaroni on the table here.
Little white wine in the console. And
very nice.
Looks pretty good.
Actually, what is coming up on the program?
We're going to interview that fabulously well-known French chanteuse, Jean-Charles Jean, who is making a name for himself all over the city.
And he's promised to sing a song for us, too.
Also, we're going to take a tour down the NBC halls to see who's visiting with us today. And finally, the Sodbuster will be along.
I think we should mention our men of note here, Bobby Shenton.
Hi, Bobby. Arthur Page, the singing rage over there.
Oh, I hear music.
And there's very... We are lucky today to have Hugh Faisenbaker with us. Hi, Hugh.
Hugh-hoo.
Hugh-hoo yourself.
Hugh-hoo to you, too.
Hugh, have you got a rash?
Certainly, yes.
I'm Bryson Rash.
No, I don't mean the E.T.
Well, I always keep my transcriptions with me in case I have to do a station break at a moment's notice.
I thought I noticed a rash on your arm.
Oh, it is on my arm, yes. I was out gardening and I got in something. It itches a little bit there. I don't know what it is.
Well, we're glad to have you with us,
Thank you. Thank you.
All the big names. We have a very exciting show, so let's get underway with a little music to start things off.
Really? We didn't get an award today. Evidently, they're trying to tell us something, so I think we'd better... play a record.
Would you play the next set?
Hey there, it's Manny Albert in the orchestra. They couldn't decide what song they were going to play, so they ended up doing Opus 1 and Fascinating Rhythm, I think.
Oh, I thought I caught a
Crazy
couple of
Rhythm or something.
Two tunes in there.
Yeah.
At our WRC microphones here in our beautiful building at 4001 Nebraska Avenue, we are indeed very, very excited about our next guest. He's a famous chanteuse from France. As you know, the Society Café Club Singer of Paris is known the world over for their beautiful lyrics and, of course, their unusual Parisian style. And today we have with us the latest and the newest in this new lineage of great French singers, Monsieur Jean-Charles Jean. And he's going to sing a song for us and accompany himself on the piano, and after that we'll talk with Jean-Charles Jean about his fabulous career. From Paris, France, to sing Autumn Leaves, Jean-Charles Jean.
Voici votre yeux sûr, vos bras si bleus, vos liens de cieux, vos liens de cieux, au revoir, chérie, je suis partielle, oula. Oui, oui. Où les points, partiez, moi y veniez. Moi, votre Dieu, mon Dieu. Moi, les évangiles, pour les petites loups. Voici. Moi, votre Dieu, et si veniez. Ma darling, mon Dieu, mon Dieu, oh, mon chéri.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you can see this new marked style of this famous French chanteuse. I call him a chanteuse, not chanteuse, because he's a gentleman. Monsieur Jean-Charles Jean from Paris. Monsieur Jean, welcome to our show.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's a great pleasure to be with you here this evening and to sing a little song here. I hope you enjoyed it.
Are you? Well, I find myself a little chagrined.
Really? You look like a big chagrin to me.
I thought that you were but your singing is French and your speaking is...
My real name is Heinrich von Roden von Siedenhorden, the Seidenhorden von Raunschmidt.
But what's the French gag here?
Well, there's just no market for German singers in fancy restaurants, and I got tired of Knackwurst and all that jazz, so I decided to put on a phony French accent, sing a couple of fake songs, there, make a buck.
Well, I must go...
See what I mean?
I must confess, you had me utterly fooled.
Fooled you, huh? Well, I've fooled the best ones there. That's nice.
You have an excellent style there.
Yeah, well, thank you.
We hope you'll join us again.
Yeah, that's nice. And,
would you mind on your way out, wheel the piano with
certainly,
you?
Certainly, all right.
Okay, we'll switch you back to our...
Give a taxi.
Okay. Play the next. Here's the cornball today.
Hey, there you have our cornball record of the day.
Right away,
that's done for you by, Ernie Kovacs with Leroy Holmes in the group. All right, we got to do a little commercializing here. Are we ready?
The Sound of America.
Hello, this is Switch Tower 4. 703's on time.
The voice is America.
Say, when Charlie comes up here, get him to bring some Canada Dry, will you?
The voice is America. The choice is Canada Dry.
The choice is Canada Dry Sparkling Grape. Flavor rich, taste delightful, delicious. The big king-size bottle, too. Two full glasses in each big king-size bottle. Be sure to get it in the six-bottle carton. Get refreshers for full, rich taste. Canada Dry in the handy carry-home six-pack. Be sure to get them today. King-size Canada Dry Sparkling Grape.
Hi, Charlie. Did you bring the Canada Dry?
The voice is America. The choice is Canada Dry. Coast to coast, America's first family of beverages.
Now my partner Willard Scott is journeying into the hall, so I'm going to go out there with him. And we'll be back in just a moment here with some interesting interviews. We switch you now to the NBC corridors. Here we are out on the corridors of NBC. That was a quick little trip, and we have a few interesting guests that we want to talk to here this evening. First of all, a very lovely lady, and I understand that you are the grandmother of the year.
Well, thank you very much, young man. I appreciate that. I didn't know it myself.
I understand that you own a little restaurant in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Is that
well,
right?
Well, you might say that. It's a beer joint on 240 out of Pittsburgh.
Oh, I see. And
we cater to truck drivers and Fruhoff breakers and all that bunch, you know.
I see. I think maybe...
Where you got the grandmother
of the
You
are
year.
Head of Fleece, aren't you? Isn't that your name?
No, head of Fleece. That's the lady behind me with the American flag tattooed on her arm.
That's me, honey. I'm Head of Fleece. I'm the grandmother of the year.
You drink beer?
Not on your life, sister. I'm sorry.
Well, I think we had a little confusion on that little interview.
Came 1,400 miles to get insulted. I'm getting out of here.
I'm sorry, lady. I'm really sorry about that. Here is a very distinguished gentleman approaching our microphone. Sir, what is your name?
Good evening. My name is Martin Martin.
Martin Martin?
Martin Martin.
You sound as though you have a certain amount of finesse, as though you may have done some radio work in your life.
Yes, I work for KCDB in Butte, Montana.
KCDB in Butte, Montana.
Yeah, all right.
Are you a staff announcer, sir, or what?
I'm an analyst on the newscasting. I'm a news analyst caster.
A news analyst.
KCBD News. That's right.
I see. Well, what makes you distinctive in your particular approach to the news?
Well, I'm sort of the Edward R. Murrow of the low price field in Butte.
You have your own style? Could you demonstrate
it? Yes, I do. To be in news today, you have to have a distinct style. You notice I clip words at the end?
Yeah, how do you do that?
Well, for my 15 newscasts, a minute newscast heard daily at 7:05 every evening over KCBD in Butte, I take my hand and place it around my throat like this. See?
You're partially choking yourself. Is that
well, right? You see, I clip the words on the end. I say, news from Moscow.
I see, yes.
That's my
cut
son.
The wind off there.
There's a story from the White House study that makes the study great.
And they love you out in Butte, do they?
I'm big in Butte.
You're big in Butte. Well, it's been very nice. By the way, is your program commercial? Sir?
I have an ending to my show that's really unique.
You don't have any commercials.
Instead of saying so long until tomorrow or good night, Chip, I just say, sheep herders, beware. Good night.
Why?
What's the
Why
sheep?
Do you say sheep herders?
It's the sheep capital of the world.
Oh, is that what it is? And now I see you're taking it on the lamb. Well, thank you, sir. It's been nice, Mr. Van Martin, having you with us.
If you don't know it, ladies and gentlemen, the National Association of Broadcasters will be holding their meeting in the nation's capital next week, and we have some of the early entrants for the various sundry meetings that will be held here who are in town early this week. We have some station managers from various radio stations across the country, and according to your card, sir, your name is Mr. Pendleton Neilworth, right?
That is correct, sir.
And yes. You are a manager of radio station?
WRXQ, one of the good music stations in the country.
You play nothing but good music?
Nothing but fine music. The
newscast every hour?
On the hour, yes.
Done by Shakespearean
actors, from the Old Vic Company only.
That's wonderful. Well,
they have very nice ratings in our town.
Nice to have you with us. The gentleman whose card says Mr. Buck Teeth. Mr. Teeth?
Oh, how are you?
And you are...
Buck Teeth here!
You're a news...
We play the top 40, the big size all around the country. Number 5 coming up this week on the charts, moving up there. I'm the station manager of the new Scream.
I see. Well, nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
There he goes in orbit. And one other station manager, sauntering up to our microphone. Your name is Mr. Tubby Ernst.
How to do it, Sugar Booger. Just proud to meet you here. How are you, though?
You are station manager.
Glad to be in WWVO in Seagram's, West Virginia.
That's the folk music capital.
Out of the world. Nice to be here at the big convention over here. Grannies, I'm telling you, we're just cracking walnuts and having ourselves a big time up here tonight, I tell you.
Well, to all the NAB boys who are visiting the nation's capital, we welcome you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, back to our beloved studio, 4001 Nebraska.
Bye.
Well, there you are. And that was very nice music. And now I think it's time for us to move on with our Sodbuster, shall we?
The Sodbuster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard and his sidekick Chester Drawer.
Come here, Chester.
Yeah. Oh! Kick me right in the side.
Yeah.
A true gentleman of the old school. Return with us now to those thrilling days of any old year as we find roaming about the wild badlands, the Sodbuster. It's early evening as we find ourselves in the Marshal's office, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard. Marshal is musing over some papers as he leans back in his chair and says,
Chester.
Marshal!
Help me up, Chester, will you?
Help you up? What on earth happened?
Oh, this confounded dad-ratted chair, Chester. I wish you'd fix it. Every time I lean back to take my ease, I fall flat on the floor there.
Marshal! Chester, Marshal, Chester.
Slim, what is the matter?
Marshal, Chester.
No, I'm the Marshal and he's Chester.
There's a bobcat loose.
There's a what?
Down in the old Red Dog Saloon.
A bobcat?
I just come up and tell you, Miss Kitty's terrified all over. They're screaming. They're all out of the place.
I don't blame them.
Loose in there, Marshal. They're coming in.
All right, just let me say, Chester, come on, boy.
Come on, Marshal. Hurry up.
Hide in here. Hide. We better be careful because these bobcats are pretty treacherous.
What are we going to do, Marshal?
Well, I'm just trying to think, Chester. Now, look, you got your gun?
Yep.
Well, good. All right. Maybe we can sort of scare him out if we fire a couple of shots over his head, you know.
Marshal, I'll run on around back of the red branch, and I'll stay around the back door, and I'll take this incendiary bomb I got left
over. Incendiary bomb?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you get that?
Over at Warner Brothers.
Oh.
Do another war story.
I see. All right.
Over.
Okay.
And I'll take it and throw it in. When I throw the bomb in, I'll count three, and you open the door and start shooting the bobcat.
All right. Here we go.
All right. I'll... 1, 2, 3! All right, get that! Open the door!
What's the matter, Marshal?
I thought Slim said there was a bobcat.
Now we are bobcat. This is Bob Crosby and the Bobcats.
Hello there, Bing is upstairs in New York making some money, but I'm here.
Well, come on in, Chester. Let's sit down and listen to some good Dixieland music.
He loves this
bobcat, for heaven's sake.
The Sodbuster is written by Moby Dick, produced by the NBC Newsroom on the weekend, directed by Horace Opera. The entire production is supervised for NBC Radio by Billy the Kid. This has been a Saddle Sore production.
Yes, you can say that again.
Joy boys of radio, we take electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio, we take electrons to and fro.
Well, won't you join us again tomorrow evening for more of the same? This is Ed Walker here.
I don't think it'll be quite this bad tomorrow, because Friday usually we feel pretty good, see, because it's near the end of the week.
Yeah.
And, we have a few. Bobby Shen was the engineer.
Yeah.
Arthur Page was Bobby's engineer.
Yeah.
And Hugh Faisenbaker was production supervisor.
You who you saw.
This is Charles Saffer reminding you this program is being heard overseas.
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys.
A Froggy Goes a-Courtin' tonight on the NBC Radio Network.